to number 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through verse number 20 will be our text. We've entitled the message, Having the Righteousness of Christ. That's Matthew 5, verse 17 through verse number 20. The message is entitled, Having the Righteousness of Christ. Let's read our passage. Jesus said this, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's go, Lord, this morning in a word of prayer as we began. Pray that the Lord will help us to understand what He's talking about here. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for the assembling of Your people together. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You've touched hearts that they might want to come to the service of God. Lord, I pray that each one of them will be given whatever they need this morning, that they might find peace and comfort in You. Lord, I know that this world is crazy, but Lord, I also know that You're sane. Lord, I know, Lord, that there's strength in You. And Lord, I pray today that we might find that. And Lord, I trust, Lord, that we might be able to worship You in spirit and truth. And I pray You might be those who are lost. Open their eyes that they might be able to see the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You might work a work in our day, Lord, that we might be able to say, that is from God. I pray, Lord, that You might bless us now. Keep us from harm. Watch over our church. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think it's rather interesting that in Matthew chapter 5, at the very beginning of the discourse of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus Christ spoke these words. Reading in chapter 4, you'll find that at the end of chapter 4, that many people were gathered together to hear this Sermon on the Mount. Well, I think really they came to hear. They came really to heal because people were sick. Maybe they didn't come to hear, but they came to be healed. And God blessed them in a wonderful way. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And many people came to hear. Many people came to see. Many people came to be healed. Maybe today you've come just to be healed of whatever your problem is. I trust that God will give you a right answer. Jesus began in chapter 5, verse number 1, talking about the Sermon on the Mount. And He began in verse number 3 by speaking to them and saying, Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is entirely a different scenario. Entirely different. Because you would think that you had to be rich in the spirit to receive the kingdom, but that's not what Jesus said. He wants them to understand. Jesus Christ did not come into the world to establish the law. He didn't come to do that. Many of the Jews believed that's why Jesus was coming. It is very interesting to me that in this place, in the very beginning of the first sermon that Jesus Christ preached, that he said in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." It's interesting to me that that's what he was saying. The Jews believed that when Jesus Christ, or when the Messiah came, that he would establish the law and they would be a part of it. They believed that Christ would be correctly worshipped, and they would also be worshipped because they would be helping Christ. They expected Christ to be a king, and he would rule over them, and whatever he said would be law. They were partially correct, but not fully correct. They did not understand that Christ came to fulfill all the requirements of the law, and that he was also their eternal Savior. They didn't get that. The Jews didn't even believe they needed a Savior. They thought they were already saved, but they weren't. They were lost. They were on their way to hell, just as many today are on their way to hell and don't even know it. They may be religious like the Jews, but don't go to hell because you're trusting in your religion. Your religion will never take you to heaven. It will never do it. Jesus does that. Jesus does that. I point you to Jesus. Just because you came into the doors of this building doesn't mean you're saved. We want you here. We really do. But we want you to trust in Jesus more than us. You know what we are? At Independence Baptist Church, you know what we are? We're saved sinners. That's all we are. We have a Savior. Every one of us that are saved has a Savior. His name is Jesus. He was the one that washed away our sins. We have nothing else to offer. Nothing else. Jesus ought to be plenty for all of us. Ought to be plenty. Jesus, in verse 17, he immediately corrects this misunderstanding of the Jews toward himself and what he's trying to do. Christ tells the people that he is not coming to the earth to destroy the law or the prophets. Rather, he is coming to fulfill all of the law and all of the prophets. The word destroy means to dissolve. It melts away. That's really what the word means, dissolve. Destroy means to dissolve and just go away. The word fulfill means to make complete. That's what it really means. You can be complete in Christ. Complete. The law was never intended to be a savior. The Jews believed that the law was their savior. That is why they rejected Jesus Christ. They didn't like him at all. Only Christ can save a soul. Only Christ can save a person from an eternal hell. Only Christ can do that. You can't be saved by being good. You ever tried to be good? I'm asking a serious question here. Have you ever tried to be good? How long? How long did that last? 3 minutes? Maybe four if it's really good, right? Being good is not the way. You can't ever keep the law. Try it sometime. You'll wind up just like the Pharisees, who God gave Moses 10 commandments. Then he enlarged on all of that until a whole book was written about the law and all the things that the person ought to do. But that wasn't enough, because then the Jews enlarged on that. The Jews enlarged on that and made a whole bunch of more laws that nobody could ever keep. Christ, when he said he came to fulfill the law, he meant he came to make it complete. Christ came to make the law complete. Christ was sinless. Therefore, he could completely fulfill all of the law and all the requirements of the law. Men, however, are sinful. No man, I want to say this, no woman, no boy, no girl can fulfill the law. Christ is the only one. He's the only one you have. Now, let's look in the book of Galatians. Keep your place in the book of Matthew. We'll be right back. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13. Galatians 5 and verse number 13. Here, Paul is writing to believers. The believers that were living in Galatia, they were in that area of Galatia. If you look at this on the map, you'll find that the Galatia is just a big area. And he's writing to them, and here's what he says. He's writing to a church, to the churches there. He says, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Even in this, all of the law is fulfilled in this one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's in verse number 14. The Bible says in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye are not consumed one of another. So here's the thing. Us by ourselves, us not being led by God, cannot keep the law. I'm saying here that us by ourselves cannot even love each other. Have you ever known any families that were in disagreement? I'm looking for a response. Yes. Amen. Me too. I know a lot of families that do nothing but fuss when they get together. Our family don't. You know why? It's not because we're better than you. It's not because we're good. It's because God has been good to us. That's why. We get along. So far, we get along. Okay. I'll say that. It's because our goal in life is to do what God wants us to do. Our goal in life is to always follow what He's saying. It's not my ideas. It's what God wants. We need the love that God gives so freely. I'm thinking of the woman at the well. You remember her, John 4? You remember her? She was a perfect woman, right? Had no problems, right? I'm just kidding you. She had a lot of problems. How many husbands did Jesus say she had? He said, you've had five. And he said, the guy you're living with right now, he's not your husband. She had a lot of problems. Did Jesus love her? He did. And when he revealed himself to her, what did she do next? I tell you what she did. She left her water pot at the well and went and told others she's found Christ. Right? This thing is that we need to love. Showing love is not compromising the truth. Showing love is never, never, never compromising the truth. Listen, Jesus loves us, right? Does Jesus ever compromise the truth? Not one bit. Has Jesus ever got on to you about a certain thing that you're doing? Has Jesus ever rebuked you? Has Jesus ever chastened you? You know why he does that? Because he loves you. He don't want you going along with all of that other stuff. He wants our minds so in tune with His Word and His will that nothing can drive us away from it. Nothing. The devil, he wants to take us away. And the devil will always give you something else to think about instead of how much that God loves you. He'll give you something else to think about. Your neighbor, for example, that crook. Do you say that? Be careful. Because that may be what he's saying about you. Be true. Be true to God. When evil thoughts come into your heart, I'm saying they come into your heart through your mind. Run those away. Don't listen to those. It doesn't get easy. I would tell you that serving the Lord does not get easy. Sometimes serving the Lord gets difficult. I want you to think of the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In John 14, the Bible records that. You think of all the anguish that Jesus Christ went through. You think of how that at that time, Jesus had already told his disciples, I go to yonder to pray. You pray right here. He came back and found them asleep. That's the way we are. He found us asleep. But Jesus Christ, he went and prayed, as it were, great drops of blood. That was a great anguish. When did that take place? At the beginning of his ministry or at the end? at the end, right? I'm telling you, things may not get easier in your life, but they'll get better. Understand? Things may not get easier as you live your life. You say, well, when I get old, I'll have no troubles at all. That's what I thought. When I was just a kid, I thought, oh, my parents have it made in the shade. They tell me what to do. But then I grew up and I had children. And then I found it was very, very difficult for me to have to discipline my own children. Very difficult. I don't think they knew the tears I shed, because I tried not to cry in front of them. But then they had their own children, and they had to discipline them. What Jesus wants us to understand is that if we really love like we need to love, then things will be better, but they'll be difficult. They'll be better, but they'll be difficult. And the more you learn, the better off you're going to be. I'm looking at the clock. I'm also looking at what I've got written down here, and I want to be able to cover it all in a way that's presentable. I want you to look in the book of 2 Peter. We'll go back to Matthew just a second. But look in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And read verse number 10. When this day comes, in 2 Peter 3, verse number 10, but of the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When will that take place? Say, I don't know when that's going to take place. I don't either. But I know this, that God wants us to continue in the love of God until He comes back. Until He comes back. He wants us to continue in the love of God, putting that number one first. That's the fulfilling of the law. But look in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 21. Revelation 21, and what this passage states. Verse 1 through verse number 4. Revelation 21, verse 1 through verse number 4. And I saw the new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That's talking about a brand new heaven, a brand new earth. When the Bible says there's no more sea, that means there was no more oceans. It's all gone. It's a different place than you ever thought about it at all. Verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And verse number 4, read this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When the Bible says in verse number 4, the former things are passed away, what is that? What is that? He said, well, no more tears, verse number 4. No more death. That's all gone, right? No more sorrow, no crying. That's all gone. For the former things are passed away. What is the chief cause of tears? What is the chief cause of sorrow? What is the chief cause of crying and death? What is the thing that really causes all that? Isn't it sin? Sin. Look back here in the book of Matthew 5. When Jesus said in verse 17, I'm not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ is saying there that He is the one that we ought to look to. He is the one that we ought to dedicate our lives to. He is the one that fulfills all of the law for us. Did you know today, I am not obligated to do anything the law says. But I do. I do things the law says, but not because the law says it. So it's the same thing. No, it's different. Because I do what the law says because that's what Jesus did. I want to be more and more like Him and less like me. I want to be more like Jesus. When you come to services and you see me, or you see me on the street somewhere, or I'm visiting you in your home, or whatever it is, I want you to see Jesus. That's the main thing. You might say, let's straighten up our lives now because the preacher's coming. That's wrong. I don't want you to do that. I really don't. I want you to live the kind of life when I'm absent because Jesus is with you. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows what you're doing. He knows why you're doing it. If you're doing anything to please me, that's no good. But I'm talking about eternal rewards. Eternal rewards. God wants you to have eternal rewards, not just temporal things at all. We read in the book of Revelation 21, verse number 4. And that day will occur after the great tribulation, after the millennial, after the judgment of the lost. Christ continues to preach to us that we need to be right before Him. Look in Matthew 5 and verse number 18. Jesus says this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I'm not a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar, either one. I'm hardly an English scholar. But I know what a jot is. Do you? I know what a tittle is as well. Do you? In the Hebrew, a jot or a tittle, a jot and a tittle, they're both little bitty marks. That's all I've seen them It's like, it's smaller than an apostrophe. Yeah, smaller than one of those. It's the little tiny mark that without that mark, it means something else. The word means something else. That's what it is. And so he says that one of these little bitty marks should not pass away from the Word of God till all be fulfilled. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here. And so understand that we need to know that God is still God, that sin is still in the world. We need to know that men are still sinners. People that are lost need to be saved. People that are lost in the millennial reign will need to be saved. People during the tribulation period will also need to be saved. And they'll come face to face with the law. But remember that the law, its chief goal, its chief purpose, is to show us that we're sinners. Individually, that we are sinners. That we need Jesus Christ. We need our life cleaned up. In Matthew 5, in verse number 19, he continues, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 19 is an interesting verse to me, because Jesus Christ is speaking this verse to Jews who have taken the law and enlarged it in such a way that it is ridiculous. They even have what they call lawyers, not like today's lawyers, lawyers that look into the law to determine if a thing is right or wrong. They were so far off. But Jesus Christ says in verse number 19, as he connects that with verse number 18, don't break any of the least commandments. Don't break any of them. If you want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, you will keep the commandments that God gives you. And that commandment is, love God, love men more than anything else. Show that. Show it to others. Only way you can do that. We live in these mortal bodies, and we must do in this mortal body all that we can do to show the people that we love God. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. Verse number 20. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God." Wow. What kind of righteousness do we need? The righteousness that God gives. That's the kind that we really need. Look in the book of Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22 and verse number 34. Matthew 22, 34. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." So the Sadducees and the Pharisees are two different Jewish groups. They believe different things. "The Pharisees had heard how that he put the Sadducees to silence. Then they were gathered together, and one of them came in who was a lawyer." This is not a lawyer like we have today. It's a guy that deals with the law all the time. And he says, he tempted Christ, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" In verse 37, here it is. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the great commandment in the law. That's it. Do what God wants you to do. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So there it is. Jesus Christ came to preach the truth of the Word of God. Some questions and answers I want to give you right now in the closing. Did Jesus Christ come to fulfill the law? Yes. Did Jesus Christ fulfill the law? Yes. Did Jesus Christ fulfilling the law mean that we do not have to obey the law? No. We don't mean that at all. Ask yourself this question. Am I trying to fulfill the law or simply obey the law? Understand the difference. Am I trying to fulfill the law or obey it? You're trying to obey it. We cannot fulfill the law. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can do that. It is enough that I look to Christ and follow Him. And He says the greatest thing we can ever do is love each other. In spite of our faults, in spite of our failures, we need to love each other. Instead of judging ourselves and others by the law of God, how about judging ourselves and others by Matthew 22, 34 through verse 40? That is, do we really love like we ought to? Do we really love like we ought to? Are we the kind of people that really love? Question number five. If I do not have the law of God, how do I know what God expects? Well, that's a pretty good question. Because if I don't have the law of God, I don't know what God expects. But here's the truth. One of these days, I'm going to stand before God in judgment. And the way He's going to judge me is going to be if I fulfilled His law. That is, do I love like I should? Sin is still the transgression of the law. That's what sin still is. It hadn't changed. Look in Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. This is still the golden rule. You know what the golden rule is? I think you probably do. This used to be a verse we had to memorize for school. Not our Christian school, it's in public school. Matthew 5, verse number 7. The Bible said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. See, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. That's pretty clear. If you want to be treated right, treat people right. And why? In the last phrase of that verse, for this is the law and the prophets. There it is. It's not done away with. It's still appropriate. This righteousness that we have is not gained through keeping the law. It is a righteousness that is given to us, freely given to us, simply because we love God more than ourselves. Do you love God more than yourself? Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? The Jews passed by the man that was injured, but the Samaritan didn't. He showed the love of God to a stranger. And what did he expect in return? Nothing. That's where we ought to be. Like Jesus wants us to be. I'm done. But today, if you're lost, I know that you might be saying, I don't think I've got that love because I care more for myself than anybody else. You're probably right. If you're lost, you need the love that only God can give to you. You need that. I pray that the Lord would show you how wicked a sinner you are, that you might come to Jesus Christ and accept the free gift of salvation that He offers to you. Without Him, without Jesus, you will die and go to an eternal hell. You that are living right now, you will come to the place of death. I don't know how you're going to die. I have no idea how I'm going to die. I know that if the Lord tarries, I will die. But I also know where I'm going when I die. But if you're lost, hell is where you're going. Hell is a literal place of real fire that burns eternally. We urge you to trust the Lord today. Recognize you're a sinner. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. And only rely upon Him. He can wash away your sins. He can do that. He's the only one that can. He knows where they are. He knows all those hidden sins. He knows all about those. And He can forgive you of all those if you ask Him. If you don't ask Him, He won't forgive you. All you got to do is ask Him. And He will give you eternal life. That's His promise. It's not my promise. That's what He said to you. That's the promise of an eternal God that watches over you. Salvation is free. It's free. No cost at all. Not to you. It cost Jesus His whole life. He gave it all up for you. We pray for you that the Lord would make it real for you. Let's go, Lord, again in the word of prayer before we're dismissed. I pray, Father, that You might bless His word. Lord, I trust, Lord, that You might have touched the heart going around all my stumblings. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You might bless, that You might give salvation to those who are lost and help us that are saved, that we might understand how You want us to live. I pray, Lord, that You might forgive us for our sins, watch over us, Lord, and bless us, keep us today. I trust, Lord, that in all things, Your will would be done. Forgive us now. Help us, Lord, to preach and teach Your truth, Your way, that Your name be glorified and Your name might be honored. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, brother, if you